Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesach and Daf Mem. We are holding on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. We got through the Mishnah, but we're up to Tanur Rabban on the Braisa on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored L'Zechus for Shalema for Rabbi Kelmer Shlita Yehuda Ben Rivka Lea by a lifelong Talmud of his. And it's also sponsored by Mark Friedman in honor of the 70th birthday of his dear wife, Rosie. She should have a happy birthday. May have Esrim in good health. So we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to discuss things that you should avoid doing lest they bring about chimutz. That's going to be the first topic. Things that you that are not direct, mixing flour and water, but nevertheless might lead to a chashash of chimutz. So we're going to highlight four particular activities, and that's going to lead into a discussion of lasisa. What about soaking grain in order to clean it before you grind it? Is that something that is, and the opinions range from something that's usher to do because it would bring about a chashash chimutz, or something that is a mitzvah to do, that it's the ideal thing to do? And then the Gemara is going to talk about how to deal with a large volume of grain that became wet right before Pesach. So what do you do with it? Can you sell it to a guy, or do you have to be choshesh that goyim are going to then turn around and sell it to a Jew? Are you allowed to sell it in small quantities to a Jew that they'll be able to finish it before Pesach? How does one deal with a large quantity of grain that became wet shortly before Pesach? And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have a Mishnah with a list of more things to avoid on account of the risk of chimutz. So we're discussing mostly things that carry with it some sort of risk of chimutz. So let's begin. Tanur Rabbanan on Lamed Tes and Beis at the bottom of the page. Tanur Rabbanan, Eil Dvarim Shein Bon Lidei Chimutz. The following things will not become chametz: ha'afwei, that which is already baked; v'mavushal, and that which is cooked; v'chalet shechalta barotchin, and that which is boiled in boiling water. So if the flour has already gone through these processes, you don't have to worry about chimutz. Mavushal ad mevashalei mechameya. What are you talking about? If you put flour in water and cook it, isn't that for sure going to be bon lidei chimutz? It's going to, that itself is going to cause the chimutz. So I'm Papa, no, what we mean to say is, if you have already baked flour, to then cook it is not going to be bali de chimutz, because once it's baked, it is no longer eligible to become chametz. Physically, it won't become chametz. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Omer, kemach shenafa l'tocho delef, afilu kol yom kulo, eino bali de chimutz. If you have flour that there's a drip that goes in all day long, it's not going to be bali de chimutz. So I'm Papa, v'udavet tif la de tif. That's only if it's drip after drip, and it doesn't stop. But once it rests, if it's dripping and then it rests, then it's going to be bali dei chimutz. It's only because it's constantly being aggravated that there's one drip after the other, drip after the other. That's why it's going to be, that's why it's not going to have time to be bali dei chimutz. Amar Rabbi Rabbi Shila, Vatika Shari, that Vatika, which is a type of flour, a type of food that's made with flour, is mutter. Vatanya Vatika Asr, but didn't we learn Vatika is Asr? Meaning, is it Chametz or is it not Chametz? So lo kasha, hadavde b'mishcha milcha, hadavde b'mayu milcha. There were two ways to make Vatika. One is to use water and salt together with flour, so that's going to be bali de chimutz. The other way to make it is with oil and salt together with flour, and oil is not going to be machmitz. That we already learned on Daf Lamed Hey, that may peros are in machmitzin, you're not chayev kares if you mix may peros into flour. So oil is just may peros, and therefore it's not going to be machmitz. So now we're going to get into these specific things one should not do, lest it's going to be mevil de chimutz. So Amar Zutcha, number one, lalimchi inshi kedera bekimcha da avishna dilmal abashal shaper vasil de chimutz. That a person should not thicken his stew with flour, even if the flour has already been baked, it's already been toasted, because maybe it hasn't been toasted properly, and therefore it can still become chametz if it's really been fully toasted. So flour that's been toasted cannot become chametz. But you always have to be choshish, so maybe it hasn't been toasted fully, and therefore whatever flour you're adding to your stew to thicken the stew is going to become chametz. Number two, Amar Rav Yosef, l'lichot inish trei chiti bahadei adadi. A person shouldn't roast two stalks of wheat together with each other. Dilma azachad of yasa b'tzirid chavrita, or two kernels of wheat rather, because one might nestle in the crack of the other. The other might have a little crack in it that the other one could sort of nestle inside of it, and then the and then the water is not going to fully surround it on all four sides. sides, and it might be bali dechimutz, it might become chametz because it's sort of blocking the cooking of the kernel, and therefore it's going to be bali dechimutz. The Meiri brings that some of the rabbanim learned from that which Rav Yosef says not to be cholate these two garine chita together, that you similarly have to be careful when you're baking matzahs not to have the two matzahs in the oven touch each other, because that also will block the heat from fully baking the matzah on all sides. So the two matzahs shouldn't touch each other. But the Meiri, although he quotes such a daya, disagrees with such a daya. He says, no, it's dafka by chalita that we're choshesh for that, because the bishul is only on account of the boiling of the water. So when the reticha is not in its absolute fullest strength, it's not going to save it from chimutz. But by a tanur, where the heat of the oven is sholeit in the entire atmosphere, even in the place where the two kikaros are attached to each other, they're going to be fully baked, because the whole heat of the oven is a much more intense kind of heat. And furthermore, he says, even by chalita, it's only by chitim, because there's a crack in them. So one will nestle inside the crack of the other, but when you're dealing with smooth dough, that one is not cracked where the other one is going inside of the other one, then there's not going to be a problem. And that's why the Meiri says, he's not choshesh for that which Rishonim say, not to have the doughs touch each other. The Ramah, however, in Aruch Chaim Sim Tav Samech Aleph writes that one should be careful in baking the matzahs that they should not touch each other, but odan lachen, when the dough is still somewhat moist, because the or won't be sholeit in the place where they're touching each other, and that's going to be maybe l'dechimutz. The Marshal, which is quoted in the Magen Avram, says b'di'eved it's not going to aser, meaning certainly it's not going to be an issue b'di'eved, but l'chadchila it's something to avoid. It's yet another chumrah d'chametz, so we're trying to be very, very careful to avoid any possibility whatsoever of chimutz. A third thing to do to be careful about to avoid chimutz, va'amar abaye lo lichruchinich treishi bali ba'adi adadi. You shouldn't even roast two stalks of grain to each other. Forget about kernels. We don't burn two stalks of grain together, because the juices are going to come out. Dilma nafki maya mehai ubali idach vasi dechimutz. The juices will come out of one of them, will be absorbed into the other one, and that will be bali dechimutz. Samle rava ihachi afilu chadanami dilma nafki mehai reisha bali idach reisha. Well, then a single stalk of grain, you should be concerned about the same thing. Moisture might come out of one end and go into the other end, and that will also be machmitz. So why are we not worried about such things? Ala marava meperos ninhu. Whatever natural moisture comes out of the grain is meperos, and meperos ain't machmitz, and meperos are not going to cause chimutz. So too, when you have two stalks of grain, you don't have to worry that liquid is going to come out of one and go into the other. Whatever liquid comes out is meperos. V'hadbe abaye me'ahi. And Abaye eventually changed his mind, and he said, you know what? You are allowed to toast two stalks of grain together. You are allowed to burn two stalks of grain together. To call adu agav medlay lo machmitzi, but not because Abaye holds that meperos rein machmitzin. No, Abaye is concerned that meperos will cause chimutz, but for a different reason. While the moisture is flowing out, it's not going to be machmitz. Damar Abaye, and the raya that Abaye holds this way is because he holds hay chatzba da avishna, that if you have chatzba da avishna, which Rashi says a jug that you dry grain in it in an oven, sachifa shari, that if the opening is face down, so whatever moisture comes out will drip out, that's going to be mutter. But zakifa aser, if it's standing upright, then it's going to be aser, because it will sit in its own juices. But the point is, as it's flowing out, we're not concerned that there's going to be chimutz. Abaye says the same is true when you burn two stalks of grain together in the oven, as the moisture is a better word, as the moisture is flowing out, you don't have to worry about chimutz. Rava Amar Afilu Zekifa Nami Shari. But Rava says, even if it's upright, it's not going to be a problem, because meperos ninu, meperos ninu machmitzin. It's meperos, and the rule is that meperos are not going to ever cause a chimutz problem. So those are the activities that the Gemara identifies that one should not do in order to avoid chimutz. So again, not to add pre-baked flour to a pot cooked food. Maybe the flour is not as baked as you think it is. Second of all, not to put two kernels of wheat in boiling water, because one might get caught inside the other one and become chametz. Number three, Abaye says not to burn two stalks together, but Rava didn't have a problem with that anyways, because it's only going to be made peiros. And then the fourth thing that Abaye had said, that you can't toast grain in a kli that's standing upright, because the juices will stay in the kli. kli. Rava wasn't concerned about that either because it's only mei peros. Now, says Gemara, there's a fifth activity that is subject to significant debate. Tan rabbanan ein lo sasin sa'orin bepesach. One should not soak the sa'orin on Pesach, the barley on Pesach. Not to soak barley on Pesach in water. V'im losas, and if you did soak the barley, this baku asuros. So if you see a crack in the kernel, then it becomes asur. But lonis baku mutaros. If you don't see that it cracked as a result of the lasisa, then it's not chametz, it's mutter. Rabbi Yossi Amar shoran b'chometz v'chometz tzomson. If you see that it's beginning to crack, you could still reverse the chimutz process by soaking it in vinegar, and the vinegar will make it shrivel back up, and it will cause it to not be chametz. Amr Shmuel ein alach Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel says we do not pass on Rabbi Yossi. You can't go back and undo the chimutz. Amr Rav Chisam Baruch v'lo nispaku mamish el kol shilu menachan al pi chavis vehein nispakus me'alehen. That it's not only problematic when you see that a crack actually developed in the barley, but even if it would crack by putting it by the opening of a barrel, that itself would be enough to say that it's problematic. Shmuel Amr, but Shmuel disagrees and he says nispaku mamish, that no, only if it actually is cracked is it a problem. Avot Shmuel uvda bedura debe bar Chashu nispaku mamish, and Shmuel actually paskind in Dura de Bar Chashu, in the village of a man named Bar Chashu, that only if it's nispaku mamish, meaning he had a case where it was it wasn't nispaku mamish, where it wasn't really literally cracked, and therefore he was makil, because he holds it's only a problem if you actually see the crack in the grain. Amar Rabba bal nefesh lo yilso. So Rabba tells us the first shita about lasisa. He says a bal nefesh should have avoid lasisa. So Mayir bal nefesh afilu kuli almanami. Why is it only bal nefesh shouldn't soak his grain? L'chora, nobody should soak their grain. Tanya ein losin sa'urin bepesach. A person should not be soaking grain on the brice we just quoted. Says you should not be soaking barley on Pesach. So isn't that true of all grain? So how can you come and say that only a bal nefesh should avoid lasisa? The brice that we had says you just shouldn't do it. So nobody should do it. So achi kamar bal nefesh afilu chitin. No, bal nefesh has to be machmer even on wheat. That wheat, you would think that there's less of a concern because it's more hard and it's going to be less affected by the lasisa. So for wheat, there's only a bal nefesh has to be machmer. For sa'orin, everybody has to be machmer. So what exactly is a bal nefesh? How do we determine who is a bal nefesh? So Rishonim have different formulations. The same basic idea. Rashi writes that a bal nefesh is a chassid. In the Gilion that's quoted in another svarim, it was said in Rashi, bal nefesh, someone who's Yirei Shemayim and is Chared al Nafsho, someone who has an extra level of Yirei Shemayim. Rabbeinu Chananel says that a Bal Nefesh is someone who's Misrachik Me Reach Aveira. He's very medactic on himself to make extra chumras on himself to avoid anything that might even lead to an Aveira. The Metzudas David on Mishlei writes that in Perch of Gimel Mishlei, that a Bal Nefesh is someone who's Yeshlo Nefesh Maskelas Limos Bera, that he has he has this aversion to things that are bad, and therefore he avoids it at all costs. The Ibn Ezra over there in Mishlei says that a bal nefesh is someone who's moshel al nafsho ve'in nafsho moshel asalav, that he is in control of his yetzer hara. It's not his yetzer hara that it's that's in control of him. That's the vort that they say that the Rav Yosef David Zinsheim said in his that the Chassam Sofer said in his Hesped for Rav Yosef David Zinsheim. Rabbi Isaac Bernstein once quoted that when they tell Yaakov that Yosef is alive, v'chihu moshel b'chal eretz Mitzrayim. Not that Mitzrayim is moshel on him, but that he's moshel b'chal eretz Mitzrayim. That being moshel means that you control, that he's in control of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim's not controlling him. That's a bal nefesh. A bal nefesh is, he has a bailus over his nefesh. Nefesh means his taivas, his desires. So he has bailus over his desires, and he doesn't let his desires get in the way of what he wants to do. So this is the discussion of bal nefesh as far as lasisa is concerned. Now some of the Rishonim understand that lasisa means soaking it in a little bit of water. Others understand that it means washing it, washing the grain really well from any foreign substance, any dirt or other matter that could get in the way. So now we have one sheet about lasisa of wheat so far, and that is it's ratway for a bal nefesh to avoid lasisa. So if someone listens to you, if someone listens to that sheet, he's going to end up eating moldy bread, because By the house of Ravuna, they would soak the wheat. And by Baravin, they would also. Rava Amar, second sheet, the Rava says, Osir Lil Sos. That not only that Bal Nefesh should be Machmir, it's Osir for everybody. Nobody is allowed to do Lasisa. But wait a second, didn't we just say the Brisa says you're not allowed to be Losis Saorin on Pesach? But doesn't that imply that wheat you are allowed to do Lasisa on? So how can you say that it's Asur Lil Sos? So Lomi Bayakamar. No, it doesn't imply that you're allowed to do Lasisa on wheat. Lomi Bayakitan Kibin Dispetsiraya Ailubuhumaya Avalsari Dishi Mashapir Dami, that it's Pashut that you can't do Lasisa on wheat because it has a crevice in it, and therefore there's more room for water to get in there and cause a chimutz problem. But barley is smoother, and therefore there's less of a concern of lasisa. So Kamashmon, that's what the Bryce is telling me, that barley ain't lost sin, therefore kal v'chomer chitim, you're not allowed to do lasisa on. So that's opinion number two, that Rava's shita is that it's usher to do lasisa. Hadar amarava, and then Rava said mutter lilsos, that it's mutter for everybody to do lasisa, which makes it sound like even a bal nefesh, no chilik whatsoever between a bal nefesh and regular person, everybody's allowed to do lasisa. Where does he get that from? Detani yotzen pas nekiya v'adra v'yavshar nekiya below lasisa, that you could be yotzen with pas nekiya on Yontif, and you can't have Pasnakia unless you have Lasisa. The Achronim raised the question, what's the Raya from Rava, the fact that you could be Yotze with Pasnakia? Maybe in Achinami, you could be Yotze B'diavid, but that doesn't tell me L'chadchila that you're allowed to do Lasisa. How's that a Raya? Just because we say in a Braisa that Yotzin B'Pasnakia V'Hadra'a. So the Sfasemis writes that if it was usher to be Loseis L'chitim because of Chashash, that maybe they'd become Chameitz, it would turn out that once they were Loseis L'chitim, then you haven't been shomerit from chimutz, and you can't be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with matzah she'ina shmura, and the fundamental requirement of shmira, yeah, shmira l'shem mitzvah, whatever, but fundamentally it needs to be shmura from chimutz, so there isn't a proper shmira from chimutz, even though b'dievet it may not be called chametz, but it's certainly not a kiyum of shmira from chimutz if you're going to do l'sisa. That's how the Sfasemis understands. All the Achronim raise this question and come up with different answers. Eser, a papa l'rava, so a papa challenges Rava, you're going to tell me that it's mutter l'sos, that everyone's allowed to do l'sisa, but hakamach, and vasa l'sos shel nachrim shel kfarim ta'orim, if you have flowers from nachrim, does from nachrim, that so if it's from, or flower from nachrim, so if it's shel kfarim, if it comes from the villagers, then it's tar, you don't have to worry that that the flower itself has already been huchshel l'kabaltum, and therefore became tamei from the nachrim, shel krachin to Maine, but if it's you're getting it from larger cities, then you have to assume that it came in contact with water, and therefore it's Uchshol Kabbaltuma and it's Tame. So the Kfar Maitaima Lav Mishum Dololasi V'Kakari Leisolas. So wait a second. By the villagers, we said, why is it that you don't have to assume it's Uchshol Kabbaltuma Mistama because they didn't do Lasisa, they didn't soak it, and therefore it never came in contact with water. It was never Uchshol Kabbaltuma, and yet we still call it Solas. So why are you telling me that it's a Mutulilsos? Because the only way you're going to have Pasnikia, the only way you're ever going to have clean and high class bread is if you do lasisa. Solas means the best flour. It means fine flour. So how can we call it solas if there was never lasisa done with it? So taguma akimcha. So no, we're not talking about the solas. We're saying on the kemach that you assume that it's not huchshol lekabaltuma. But in a chinami, solas by definition had to have been huchshol lekabaltuma because you can only have fine kemach is regular flour. Solas is fine flour. Fine flour you're only going to have if it had lasisa. Why didn't you bring the following raya? You want to bring a raya that solas does not require lasisa in order to be solas? What about karbanos mincha? We don't do lasisa on the karban mincha, and yet we still call a karban mincha a solas. We still call it solas. So how can you say yershal nekiya below lasisa? We see by karban mincha that there's such a thing as a nekiya below lasisa. So hadar amarava, then Rava said a final shita. Not that it's asur l'sos, not that it's mutar l'sos, not that there's a difference between a bal nefesh and a regular person, but hadam Rava mitzvah l'sos, which is shocking that there's a mitzvah to take the flour, to take the grain and bring it in contact with water, and then ultimately you'll dry it, but to put it into contact with water. Shenemar u'shmartem es hamatzos, and e lo debay l'sisa shimur l'may. If you're not going to do the sisa, where's the shmira? Shmira means that there's a risk of chimutz, and you're guarding it from that chimutz. But if you never put it into a risk of chimutz to begin with, then there's nothing to guard it from. So it's a mitzvah l'sos. It's a mitzvah to create the problem. I remember when I was a bachur, why Rav Aaron Kahn gave a musar shmuz about how chametz represents all the bali machshava. Say the chametz represents the yetzer hara, and he gave a musar shmuz about l'sisa. I never heard of l'sisa, but like it resonates in Psachim Dav Mem. Rava says mitzvah l'sos, that sometimes you have to confront the yetzer hara. You can't just ignore it. You have to call it out, and you have to encounter it and attack it head on. So mitzvah l'sos, you create the problem, you create the potential for the problem, and then you attack the problem. Then you do a proper shmira on the issue. So that's the sheet of Rava in the end of the Gemara, that it's mitzvah l'sos. Tosh Rabbeinu Peretz raises the question that we said that that they used to need the Karban Mincha. The Gemara said Daf Lamed Vav, that they would need the Karbanos Mincha with Mayim Poshrim, with warm water, and that's mutter, because the Kohanim were doing it, and Kohanim's reason, they're going to be very careful that even though warm water is Mimar Lahachmitz, it causes something to become Chameit more quickly, but you could trust the Kohanim, they're going to do a good job. But by matzah, you're not allowed to need matzah with warm water. Yet when it comes to Lasisa, according to Rav Lechora, the din is the opposite. We're saying over here that when it comes to Menachos, so you're not allowed to be Losis to Menachos. The Chitim of the Menachos, you can't soak in water at all. And yet when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, apparently Rava holds mitzvah lilsos. Why is it that we're more comfortable trusting people to create a problem and beware of the problem by matzah than we are by menachos, and yet when it comes to the temperature of the water, we're more comfortable allowing people to monitor the problem when it comes to menachos than it is than we are by matzah, because we could trust Kohanim more? So that's the kasha Tais Rabbeinu Peretz asks. Tais Rabbeinu Peretz suggests that when it comes to lisha b'poshrim, it requires an extra level of zrizus, so we only allow it when it's done by Kohanim, who are very zariz. But l'sisa just needs a shmira kala. That anyone could do. So why is it asr taka by menachos then if anyone could do it? Because the lesisa is not done in the azara. That's done by each person in their house. And an individual is not going to be as careful about the chimutz of a korban mincha as much as he is about the chimutz of chametz bepesach. Because chimutz of chametz bepesach, everyone knows, is a chi of kares. Plus, everyone knows it's really their responsibility. When it comes to a korban mincha, you think, okay, the kohen will fix it if it's a problem. You know, you don't think of it as your own responsibility, and you know that it's not in the Sukkaris anyway. So that's why we're concerned that people aren't going to take it as seriously, so there's no lesisa by a carbon mincha. But Rava still holds that it's a mitzvah lilsos when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah. Okay, so again, Rava said, why? Because shmartim es matzah, zilol by lesisa, shimur lamai. What's the shmir that you need? E shimur delisha, lav shimuru. If it's just shmira, once you put the flour in contact with water to knead it together, so that's not shimurhu at that point. You need a shmira from an earlier point. If you get a dough from a nachri, you don't have to worry that it's chametz necessarily, but you do have to make sure they eat matzah afterwards, because that's not matzah shmura if the guy did the kneading. Ba'achrona in Berishon Alo, you can't use it as your first, because you can't be yotzi the mitzvah of matzah with that which you got from the nachri. My time is from the love of shimur, because apparently it's not, there was no shmira done. So says, what do you mean there's no shmira done? The love of the shimur me'afiyah ve'elach. Maybe there's a shmira from the time that you bake it, meaning you got the dough from the nachri and then you baked it right away. So now you did shmira from the baking. Elav shmamina shimur me'ekara bi'inan. Now, obviously, shmira at some very late stage in the process is not enough. So just like shmira during the baking stage is way too late, shmira during the lisha stage is too late also. The shmira has to come earlier on. No, wait a second. There's a big difference between not doing shmira when you put flour and water together to knead the dough, and not doing shmira at some earlier stage when you're harvesting or soaking grains or whatever. So maybe that's the problem over there with the Betzeka Shel Nachrim, is that there was no Shmira at the most critical point when the flour and the water were mixed together. But if you were able to do Shimur at the Shas Lisha, where it was most critical to do Shimur, maybe that's a valid Shimur at the time of the Lisha. Even though that's a pretty good Kasha, Lo Hadabe Rava. Rava still didn't change his mind. He would tell the people that were working in the fields with the grain that were piling them up that they should do everything the Shem Mitzvah. He held that you need to do a Shmira from beginning to end. The whole thing always requires Shmira. What exactly is this Bitsekos Shel Nachrim? What exactly did the guy do? Meaning, this seems like very iffy over here. You're getting dough from a guy that you're going to then use as matzah and trust that it's matzah. So some of the Rishonim understand that Bitzekos Shel Nachrim means that it's a Bitzekos Shel Yisrael, that Nachrim were lush Bibatei Yisrael, meaning you have the guy working for you in your house. You're a Yotzei V'Nichnas. You weren't watching the entire time, but he knows the drill. He knows what he's supposed to do, and you're around the house, and that's what it means Bitzekos Shel Nachrim. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says that it's dough that a Nachri made in his own house, but when the Jew buys it, he sees that there's no simanim of chimutz, that the Gemara is going to describe what chimutz is, that you see the dough turns white, and then the cracks develop in the dough. So there's a chimutz process. So you look at the dough, and there's no chimutz in the dough. There are no cracks in the dough. So you know that it's not chametz. And that's good enough. So the Rishonim really jump on Rashi for that. I mean, there are so many problems that could happen. What about the kalim that the guy made it in? What about that maybe he put a little yeast in it, and maybe the rising, the full rising hasn't happened yet, but it's going to, because the reaction is already going on inside of the dough. What about why aren't we choshesh that he mixed in a mashu of chametz with the dough? Maybe there's a mashu of chametz in the dough. Why aren't we choshesh that the nachri mixed it with mayim poshrim? We said that you're not allowed to make matzah, your own matzah, when you're on top of the situation with mayim poshrim, with warm water. Why aren't we choshesh maybe the nachri needed the dough with water that was not mayim shalanu, which is pretty natural to do, meaning if he drew the water that day. So that's a problem for making matzah. So there are all of these concerns. So the Rishonim have a very, very hard time with this Rashi. But one thing that does emerge from this Gemara is that there is some discussion as to at what point you actually need Shemira at what point you actually need Shemira in order to be Yotze the mitzvah of matzah. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Tav Samach that you don't do the Lisha nor the Afiyas HaMatzah Sali De Nachrim, and the Bi'ur HaGra says it's based in our Sugya. So the Gra quotes from Farshim that we're talking even if a Yisrael is Omeid and sees how the Nachri is kneading the dough, and that's based on Rabbeinu Chananel in our sugya, that the fact that you know that the matzah did not become chametz is because the nachri was being lush right in front of us. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel said, not like Rashi, and still you're not yotzei yechiv of matzah with it. So a number of the Rishonim say that even if Yisrael is omid al yedei al gabei anachri, and he's telling him to do it l'shei mitzvah matzah, even that's not going to help. That it has to be something that's done by the Jew himself. So there is a discussion about machine matzahs, whether it helps to have the people who are operating the machinery have a sense of lishma when they're baking the machine matzahs. So is that considered enough, or do you need the maisa to be a maisa that's done al yidei adam that's done lishma? Okay, but let's not get into that right now. So says the Gemara Vayter, now the last few words of the page. Marbrei Ravina minakta. His mother prepared for Pesach. She did a shimur me'ikara, like at the very early stages. She made sure that there was no chametz, that the shmirah happened at the very early stage. I mean, if she would buy a plate full of wheat that was shomer mishas ktsira, and she was very careful about it and put it away letzorach Pesach, because she knew that that was something that mattered a lot to him. So says the Gemara, who arba dechiti detava bechishta. There was a boat full of chitim that had sunk in a river called the Chishta River prior to Pesach, and all of the wheat got wet. So Shariya Rabbi Luzune Lenachrim. Rabbi said, okay, so sell it to a non-Jew. Non-Jews are allowed to have chametz on Pesach. So just sell it before Pesach, before the Zman Isser, sell it to a non-Jew. Say, Isfei Rabbi Bar Levi LeRava. So Rabbi Bar Levi challenged Rava, Beged Shavad Bo Klayim. Let's say you have a Beged that there was Klayim lost in the Beged somewhere. There's Shatness in the Beged somewhere, but you just can't find it right now, but you know that it's in there. So I raise out Loyim Karenu Lenachri. You can't go sell it to a Nachri. And the reason is because the Nachri might turn around and sell it to Yisrael, and obviously it's not so easy to find the shatness in there, but the Nachri is going to say, oh, I got this from a Hamisha supplier, and he's going to go sell it to Yisrael, and the Yisrael is not going to see that there's shatness in there, so you can't even sell it to the Nachri. And you can't make it as a cloth over the Chamor's back, but you can make it as Tachrich in Lemes, so you could use it for shrouds for a dead body. So the Nachri might time alone, Mishum da Hadam Azbin Li Yisrael. Why can't you sell it to a Nachri? Because he's going to turn around and sell it to Yisrael. So shouldn't you have the same concern with your soaked grain, that the wheat got soaked in the water? You're going to go sell it to a Nachri right before Pesach. The Nachri is going to say, oh, don't worry, I have a Hamisha supplier for my grain. And the person is going to think that there's no Chimutz problem. So Hadam Rabbul is binu Kaba Kaba. Then Rabbi said, you know what, the better Eitzah is make it in small packaging, small portions, and sell it kaba kaba, one kaba at a time, li Yisrael, to Jews, kiyechid vali kame kipiska, and that way, the kaya kame piska, that way will be finished before Pesach, because the person will buy, you know, one meal's worth, and it's already the day before Erev Pesach, so we'll eat it that day, and it's going to be gone by the time Pesach arrives. But it's interesting, one of the things we said over here is that you're not allowed to make it, you are allowed to make shatnis tachrich in the mace. Why are you allowed to make shatnis tachrich in the mace? The Rishonim raised the kasha, Tosos over here, and many other Rishonim, why is it that you're allowed to have shatness on the mace? Isn't there an issue of loig larash? The Gemara Menachos tells us that we're not cover a mace. That we're not cover a mace without tzitzis. He needs tzitzis mitziyatzes because of loig larash. Because everyone else is able to do mitzvos and he's not able to wear tzitzis, so we put tzitzis on him. So it shouldn't be a problem of loig larash. We have a practice that we don't go into a cemetery with our tzitzis out because he's not really getting the mitzvah. He's dead and made a kivin shemes nasa chavshim in a mitzvah. So when a person dies, he's really chavshim in a mitzvah. We have this sensitivity of loig l'rush, and here we're going to dress him up in shatness. That's how could that not be a violation of loig l'rush? So we shouldn't give all sorts of different answers. Tosfos of here suggests that just like there's no issue to be lovish klayim in a way that you're not nene from the beged, you're not wearing it pederech chimum whatsoever. So he's not doing the issur of the lovish shatness because he's not getting any hana from the beged, and therefore it's not loig l'rush because there's no actual violation of the issur. Now the very existence of answers beyond that seem to suggest that that not all Rishonim agree that it's totally on actual Hana from the Beged, or I shouldn't say it that way. There is a discussion in Rishonim based on the multiple answers that we have over here, whether the same is true by the mitzvah of tzitzis. Do you only get the mitzvah, meaning that answer is suggesting, oh, it's not going to be a shatness problem, but tzitzis would still be an issue, even though he's not getting Hana from the Beged. Meaning that implies that in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of tzitzis, you don't need to be getting any Hana from the Beged. The other answers that we're about to mention, maybe we'll mention one or two others, the other answers or the existence of other answers suggest that there's not going to be a chiluk between tzitzis and that ain't a chinami. It's true, the halacha by shatness is, if you're not getting any hanas levisha, you're not yotze, you're not violating the isser of shatness if there's no hanas levisha. But maybe the same is true with tzitzis, so it's not going to solve the problem anyway. If there's no hanas levisha, maybe there's no kiyum mitzvah of tzitzis either. And the real issue is the stira. Why is it by tzitzis we're so sensitive to him, and by shatness we're not so sensitive to him? So you see, there is a machlokas rishonim whether by tzitzis hanas levisha is required in order to be mekayim mitzvah of tzitzis. That's what they explain. Some wanted to explain why some of the great gaonim of our time and the big machmirim or machmir about everything wear cotton tzitzis. Reb Chaim Kanievsky wears cotton tzitzis. The stipler wore cotton. Reb Chaim, you can explain because the stipler wore, but the stipler wore cotton tzitzis. It's machlokas rishonim whether there's a chiv d'oraisa on cotton. It's true, Ashkenazim paskin is chiv d'oraisa, but it's machlokas rishonim. Why not just be yotzei the shita, all shitas, and wear wool? Because in Bnei Brak it's 130 degrees during the summertime, so you can wear wool. There's no other be in pre air conditioning days. You can wear wool. There's no anas levisha. All it is something that's annoying, that's a nuisance because it's going to be so warm. So maybe there's without a anas levisha, maybe there'll be it's a chumrah. They're being choshesh. So maybe there's no chiv tzitzis without anas Slavisha. That's how some want to explain. As Rav Shechter told us, that if you have people that are still davening in outdoor minyanim in December in New York and it's freezing cold, so where should they put the talus? The Chevra asked me over here. Should they wear their talus over their coats or under their coats? So he said, Pasha, they should wear it under their coats. If they wear it over their coats, you don't even realize that it's there. If you don't even realize that it's there, there's no Hanah Slavisha. With no Hanah Slavisha, it's subject to this Machlokas, Rishonim. Whether Tzitzis is a function of Hanah Slavisha as well. There are other answers that are given. The Rash in Maseches Klayim and Rabbeinu Tam is called by Rishonim that Dafka by Tzitzis, which is Shkula connected Kol HaMitzvos, were concerned about Loig L'Rash, because Tzitzis is such a chash of a mitzvah that it represents all Taryag Mitzvos. But when it comes to Shatnes, that's one issue in the Torah, so we don't have to worry so much about Loig L'Rash. The Aruch Lener distinguishes between Mitzvah Saseh and a Mitzvah Lo Saseh. He said the fact that he's honest, you can't say that he's in violation of anything. So it's not Loig L'Rash, but the fact that he's violating Avera by not wearing Klayim, or he's not being Mekayim the Mitzvah. It's by Mitzvah Saseh, there's Loeg, because you're mocking him that he's no longer able to be Mekayim a Mitzvah. But by a Lo Saseh, it's not Shaykh to be Loeg, that he's no longer able to be Mekayim a Lo Saseh, B'Shevi Al Tasa, to avoid an Avera. He's avoiding all Averos. He's not doing any Avera. So it's not Shaykh Loeg L'Rash by a Mitzvah Lo Saseh. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, Yashav Lo Aver Avera Noslam Oschar Kosa Mitzvah. So it says, Yeruch Nair, what about that? The Gemara says that if you just sit still and don't do any Averos, you still get schar as if you're doing a mitzvah. He says that's only when it's Yitzro Meskaber Olav and you're Kovesh, you're Yetzer, then you get schar. But right now, I happen to not be Ochel Dam, I'm not eating blood, but I have no time to eat blood right now. So I'm not getting any great schar for not doing that Avera. So that's the great schar you get is only when confronted with the Yetzer Har. Okay, says Gemara Vayta now. Tan Rabbanan, in Molulinus HaKedera, you're not supposed to put flour into a tavshil that has water in it, but pass on Pesach, when the tavshil is boiling up, because till it boils up, it could become chametz. But if you want to do so, then put in vinegar right away afterwards to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. You could even put the vinegar in first, and even though the vinegar is now not being put in be'en, meaning by the time it encounters your flour, it's already betarovus with other things, it will still prevent the chimutz. So man yeshomrim, who are these Yeshomrim? I'm Rav Chista Rabbi Yehudahi. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Ditnan, because the Mishnah tells us in Mesach HaShabbos, Hey Ilfus Vakdeira She'eviron Merutachin. If you take a Kli Rishon that is still hot, Lo Yiten L'Tochen Tavlin, don't put spices into that Kli Rishon that's still hot. That's a violation of Bishul on Shabbos. Avol Nosin L'Tocha Kara O L'Tocha Tamchoi. But once you put the food into a klisheni, then you could put spices in, because a klisheni is ainam avashel, so you don't have to worry about anything. Rabbi Yudomer Lekolu Nosin, you could put tavlin into any food, even in a klisheni, chutz midavar sheish v'chometz v'tzir, meaning only in a klisheni, you could put anything into a klisheni, except for that which has chometz v'tzir, that the tzir is the fish brine that comes out of the fish. That you can't put tavlin in on Shabbos, because that will be mevashel the tavlin, even in a klisheni. This is what's known as kalei abishel, that there are certain things that even though klisheni does not have the capacity to be mevashel, kalei abishel can become mevushel in klisheni. What's clear, you know, there's a discussion in the Achronim, do we assume everything is kalei abishel? You know, we don't, the Gemara never gives like a list of the following things are easily cooked. It just gives a couple of examples. Do we assume everything is kalei abishel? Do you assume no? Kalei abishel is like an unusual thing. So most things cannot get cooked in a klisheni, and therefore it would not be a problem to put in a klisheni. But one thing we know, tavlin is explicit, that spices are not a problem in a klisheni. You're definitely allowed to put spices in a klisheni. That's the tumult about tea, whether tea is a problem in a klisheni. So Mishnah Berurah says, forget about klisheni, kli shlishi, kli revi'i, tea. Do you see that it cooks so easily? You can't put tea in anything. That's why the Mishnah Berurah recommends making tea essence before Shabbos. Whereas Rav Meisha says, no, we have to, Kli is, he says, tea is obviously a Kali Abishal because you see that it cooks, but even Kali Abishal only cooks in a Kli Sheni. Kli Shlishi, you don't have to worry about it. And that's why Rav Meisha recommends making tea in a Kli Shlishi. But Rav Salvechik quoted from his grandfathers, from both Rav Chaim and Rav Elia Prozhin and Rav Elia Feinstein, that no, tea is a tavlin. That's exactly what it does. It gives flavor to the water. It's a spice. And a tavlin is a beferish in the Gemara that a tavlin is not Kali Abishal. bishul. So you can make tea in a klisheni. Rav Shapta used to tell us that. So I asked him, "Do you make tea in a klisheni?" And he said, "Only when I'm thirsty for tea." But so he was mekel to make tea in a klisheni. Unusual. So anyway, so says Gemara v'nukma k'Rabbios. So what we're suggesting over here is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that chometz is mevashel even after it's been mixed with the tavshil. So that's l'shitaso that you're allowed to put kemach into a tavshil that chometz is already mixed in with. So says Gemara v'nukma k'Rabbios. Why not say that the Yeshom was following the sheet of Rabbi Yossi to Tanya? Because we have a price that tells us Rabbi Yossi Omer shorn b'chometz v'chometz tzomson, that if you have if you soaked your sa'orim in water and you see that they're beginning to crack, they're beginning to show chimutz, so then you can mix them with vinegar, and the vinegar is not going to allow them to become chametz. And we're assuming that the fact that it's already begun to swell and it's almost there, it's right at the chimut stage, and you could still employ the vinegar. So you see that the koach of chometz is so strong, it's mistaver that he would allow it, even if the chometz is already mixed with other things, because you see the great strength of chometz. So it says Marno, kiyash minu le Rabbi Yossi, hani mili di isei be'enei, aval yedei tarov aslo. Yes, chometz is very powerful and can undo a chimutz process. Vinegar can undo a chimutz process, but that's only when it's raw vinegar. But when it's mixed with other things already, then it's not going to be able to undo a chimutz process. Ula, and therefore the Yesh Rambam does not necessarily conform to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi just spoke about how powerful chometz is, but he did not say that chometz, once it's mixed with other things, can still be so powerful. Ula amar echad zeh ve'echad zeh aser. Whether you put the tavshil in first and then the chometz, or the chometz or the chometz goes in afterwards, it's aser. Mishum lach lach amrina nazira schar schar lekabel lo tikrev. Why would you cause yourself problems? You stay away from things that might be an iser, just like you tell the nazir. You don't tell the nazir, go to the winery and just don't drink anything. No, you tell them, stay away from the vineyard. Go a different way. You don't want to entice yourself. You don't want to get yourself anywhere near trouble. Rav Papi Shari le Bordiki de Beresh Kalusa le Mimcha Kedera b'Chasisi. He allowed the bakers of the Beresh Kalusa to mix the tafshil in the Kedera with wheat that was ground up from dried kernels of wheat in an oven because it's considered baked flour. And baked flour cannot become chametz. Amar Ravi, Ika Deshari Kiay Milsa Beduchta Deshchichi Avdi. There is someone that's matir such a thing in a place where you have a lot of avadim, where avadim are going to be mezalzel and other isurim, meaning they're going to see whatever you do, and they're going to do 10 steps further than that. So it's probably not a great idea to take on these kulas of using this toasted flour and say, it's okay, it's already baked, it's not going to be a problem. There are avadim around. Ika Dami Rava Gufa Machile Kidra Bechasisi. Some say that Rava himself put kemach that was from wheat that was dried in an oven into a tafshil, and he himself was not worried that it's gonna be a problem because of the avadim are gonna. He was only worried about it in the house of the Reish Kalusa where there were avadim around. But he himself, in his own private home, he was not worried about it leading to any problem of chimutz. Should we? All right, we'll start with the Mishnah tomorrow. That's a shame. Okay. Oh, yeah.